Now we have, I think, still some time for questions. Who wants to raise the first question?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the very nice presentation we have here this afternoon about M2M. I would like to ask you whether you consider the tags that are put into the various, things. You take into account that should be machinery double, should be evolutionary, should help the knowledge society. Because in order to be able to reach all these things, either from the end point of view or from an integrator about different components, all those need to search. To search the globe of internet, the globe of Internet of Things, in order to find the best and most suitable in order to do its work, in order to do its integration, in order to find exactly what it needs to find. So do you take into account these requirements? Thank you.
I understood from the presentations that indeed the identifiers and these specifications are extremely important, and they have to last for many more years than just the mobile. Also the reliability, the operating range and temperatures. I think, who was telling this story? You were? No, or the M2M, yes.
I'm not sure to exactly understand your question there, because in terms of identification, it really depends on the type of applications that you want to do. Okay, for instance, you mentioned the RFID tag for smart metering. They are using the serial numbers to identify the object. On some other market, they are using the MAC address to identify the object itself. So it really depends on the market that you want to do something on. Mainly my message was not to confuse between addressability of an object and identification of this object. These are things that are completely different. And now, after that, I would say, I don't know if you have a more precise questions, because I'm...
Yeah, I will try to help. I'm not sure that I understand your question either, but if you are talking about the identification, then of course on one side you have the things which you need to identify, and you want to use the information. Okay, so you have to have on the other side something, some database, some, you know, other things, some other which is able to retrieve this information. And of course, building the Internet of Things or the machine to machine, you have to have the both sides working together. So you cannot really expect that you will have something where you will be able to retrieve information and everybody, you know, across the board will be able to use the information for something. So it will be always small ecosystems which will start to work on some application, Okay, and then I think we saw in the presentation of the grid and stuff like this, where it is very big, huge, complex Internet of Things, ecosystem, which of course will come later on, because you will not be able from day one to use all the information for you as a end user.
Who was first?
Hello, Stuart Clayman, UCL. I'd like to make... I was going to ask a question, but it actually ties into your answer you mentioned just there. A lot of the work we've done at UCL is on services and management historically, and we've been looking at the Internet of Things arena quite recently for various reasons. And the issue you mentioned there about databases and how do you get information from various sensors and things fits in with this services and management model that we've been working on. Because if you view your applications only as end-to-end communications, all the data is transient. You never have a mechanism for going back and saying what happened then, what happened in the past, did we get something wrong? It also means you cannot share the data with multiple applications to get some kind of concurrency, so you have one control application, one reporting one. If you build an architecture that has a services model and management on top, you can start building up these things and avoid silos and avoid independent ecologies of sensors and then worry about how you integrate them later. And of course, building up a service and management model on top of these things is not an easy task, but the experience of that area shows that it does work because it has been done at much higher levels, obviously with servers and things like web services, media services, but there's no reason not to apply it to an area where the scale is hundreds or thousands of times more. So I wasn't asking a question, but it's a point.
So, anyone want to comment on the statement that we need the service layer above the sensors or the intelligent objects?
Yeah, just to say that I completely agree with you about the management of such a system. It will be very, very complex. Now, it doesn't break the end-to-end principle. Okay, that's you could have, architecture.
The interesting thing about end-to-end is, in an uncontrolled way, is that there's nothing that stops you multiple people talking to the same sensor or actuator.
That's right. You're totally correct. Nothing to add.
Thanks. I had two questions over here still. Who wants to go? So.
Well, actually, my question was slightly related to the last issue, which is this idea that you will not have gateways, we shouldn't have gateways. I think what is also interesting is maybe to understand what kind of gateways we're talking about. Are they the higher layers application gateways, or we're talking about also maybe technology gateways? Because in some cases you will still have Mac or transport or communication technologies that are built for a certain application and they are dedicated for that application. So it somehow will have to then let that that communication domain run on its own and then interact on it if needed. So my point is I'm not convinced that the end-to-end on its own would work.
Say not always the same, but
I do not agree with you. I think the end-to-end will work and is working. But I want to do a distinction about gateways. You're right, okay? My statement, I only had like 15 minutes to present everything, so it's very short. I will do a difference between the protocol translation gateways that I do not want to have, and also gateways that are hiding or preventing the end-to-end principle. The other things that we could have, and that I think that will be deployed for sure, is what I call distributed intelligence. If, in order to implement some applications, you need to have a decision to be taken at some level of the architecture. And so you have this concept of distributed intelligence. For instance, in the smart grid, if you want to react on fault on the distribution grid, you need to have distribution intelligence just to react very fast at that. So you could have it in what you call a gateway, but it's more, in this case, it's more application, distributed application server. But it doesn't break the end-to-end principle to do that.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Werner. I have a question regarding that IPv6 protocol, especially the sub part concerning location and location detection. You mentioned that IPv6 addresses would not be identifiers. I agree with that fully. Could you give an answer to the kind of roadmap where the IPv6 location concept will come into place? So really for access networks dealing with that?
Probably I said location, that's not the right thing. You know, on the IPv6 address, you have one part that is the routable information. On the address, you need to know where to send the packet. And so on the IPv6 address, you have all this information for a router to decide where to send the packet in order to reach the destination. And this is exactly what I was mentioning, probably by location. It's not based on physical location like GPS or other things. No, it's really the route to the device itself. Yeah. And so the point is that sometimes I saw people that say, okay, but if I have a device and I give an IPv6 address, I can move from Europe to the US, and using the same IPv6 address, it will be addressable. I say no, because if you do that, that means that for these trillions of devices, you need to put all the paths to these trillions of devices in all the routing table of all the routers in the world. I think we will consume all the energy of the world just to do that, okay? So the main point is that the IPv6 address include the routing information. So in this way, you can't, it can't be an identifier, okay? The thing that you can do is, for instance, based on the MAC address or based on, I don't know, on serial numbers, you can build an IPv6 address that includes the identifier, but not the other way. Okay? I'm not sure I'm clear.
In some way, but we can discuss afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for the interesting question. You had another one?
My name is Luigi Azzori, I'm from University of Cagliari, Italy. My question was on the previous discussion about the reachability of every object and the end-to-end communication paradigm, because which is our vision? The vision is that objects belonging to different operators, different entities, different owners can cooperate together in a federation world, and so every object should be reachable without using gateways, and should in a certain way be also searchable. So every object should be able to find somewhere in a database which other object is able to provide information about the temperature in Cagliari, Italy, or whatever. I think that the end-to-end communication is usable, is the right way, but we need some servers that do something like provide services to search the service provided by the objects and to store information about the history of every object. So I think that the solution is in the middle. I mean, it was a comment more than a question.
question? Any next question? Yes, I know we are running late for the coffee break. I had some questions, but I don't know if I still should start one of them. I mean, I have some interesting questions, but one of the things which we came up with when we discussed the panel was, do you need some government support for this IoT infrastructure, or will it happen without any support? I mean, is it just an evolution of the internet, or why would we do something specifically for this infrastructure? Anyone wants to answer this question?
I think it's always good to have some government support if they give, the direction or some rules, if the rules are not, I would say, too strict and so on. But maybe it's a good question as well to Paul here, whether in Hungary, in the projects which you did and so on, whether there was some involvement. So, as you see,
is technology no.
As you see from the example in Hungary, you don't need really, but maybe to get faster, farther, and to make clear, clarification what really about the privacy and so on, you need some involvement.
Yes. Thanks.
Maybe one more comment is that when we look at Internet of Things from a supply chain perspective, we had this business-to-business kind of question. But when we now look at this smart metering and when we look at healthcare, and then we are in real government-driven areas. And I think there will be money from government spent in that area in the infrastructure, because it's another solution which is needed. This is why we saw smart metering so often, because it's something which is driven by the government. If it's driven by the government, there will be support for infrastructure. So this, I think there will be, and this is why it will be first to be implemented, because of this need.
Thanks for the answer. So I understood that we make sense that we try to support it. But I had a complimentary question, in fact. In fact, the complimentary question is that, will the SIM card model or the mobile operator model of today be the model in which Internet of Things services will be paid in the future? I mean, when I see now that most of the applications, I mean, it's like you're saying, these objects are probably mobile, like a car, they will move around. That means the only way to connect them is wireless. If you connect them wireless, the first option of choice is the SIM card probably. And then, of course, you have to pay the mobile operator, which can use these funds to build out the network he needs. And anyway, it has been shown in the past to be very profitable. So my question is now, will the mobile operator be the business case, have the business case to develop the Internet of Things, and will the SIM card be the identifier of choice of the future?
Well, I would say the SIM card to be the identifier, it's a good possibility. It's the identifier today of the subscribers and so on. On the other hand, for some simple things, the question is, okay, will the investment in that be, okay to connect everything with the SIM card and so on? Maybe for some things there will be not needed such a high security and so on. So maybe for this case, not. The other thing is whether, the business case and so on, whether it will be paid by the SIM card, by the telecommunication and so on. If you look at the internet today, then I think more than 50%, maybe even more, are paid by advertisement on the internet. And even by the connected things, I mean, you will have new interfaces, you will have new communication channels. And I'm pretty sure that there will be business cases which we today are not able to estimate what it will be paid from.
My example is that in my presentation you have seen that Telenor and Telenor Connexion,
that as a connectivity service provider. So we were the first who has established the M2M worldwide operator, and now five of the largest mobile operators have done the same. So M2M is so sophisticated that in most cases it's on the outsourcing phase in terms of accounting, human resources, HLR, and all things like that, and it should be worldwide. So you cannot build a M2M solution locally, even for the Nordic area or Western Europe, because Internet of Things are worldwide. So that's why it's a new way that worldwide M2M mobile operators started to establish. So new interconnection, new roaming agreement has been set up between the mobile operators and totally new accounting system compared to the existing one, and new IT infrastructure behind on it. Example in Sweden, there are 5 million households, and the mobile operator have to commit the GSM technology until 2020 or 25. I do not know how many long time, but nobody knows that do we will have GSM technology. So that's why it's very important to handle M2M independently. And I didn't mention, but in most cases, fixed line operator can also join to the M2M cake. So we have solution when Telenor is the technological operator, but we are using Orange M2M SIMs worldwide. So M2M also opens the world that we should collaborate with everybody. So there are solutions when mobile operator is the main contractor, that but they are not using mobile technology, or they are using competition mobile technology, because it's very sophisticated. What I see now, it's business driven. So we should prepare business model, focus on large OEM customers, and then start a take-up rate. I know that the largest mobile operator has 500 million SIM cards, and when Telenor connection was established, we asked for 1 billion SIM cards number for the GSM association. And then it was a feedback from the association, maybe we have made a wrong request, why should we get 1 billion numbers? But we told to them, it's a huge business, so we should not limit it on the number range. And it's only on the beginning stage, so we suppose only that it will come with certain area like health or smart metering, which will drive the whole market. Unfortunately, the infrastructure investment is extremely high. So a mobile operator should establish a totally new infrastructure in terms of accounting, customer care, HR, and in most cases, the network, because it's limited.
Thanks for the answer. Yes, I still have a question. So an answer, okay.
So just to remind the situation, I'm Patrick Guillemin from HC, and regarding the usage of SIM cards or the IP version 6 or ZigBee or smart meter, the committee on machine-to-machine at HC is becoming an HC partnership project to create a common platform for the functional architecture to include every existing legacy system and design a common architecture with all standard body involved. So they are coping with these requirements because there won't be only one identification system, one architecture, but we are now creating an inclusive framework to start a new design, including every legacy systems, and design a new system based on that ID. So there is the answer. So not only SIM card, not only USIM card, not only IP version 6 from IPSO Alliance, not only ZigBee, but everything must be integrated in the common architecture.
Yes, I have to confirm that, and this is another question I had, but in fact there's a lot of interest from telecom operators in the machine-to-machine area at this moment because they expect to find business models. Now, you suggested a business model which frightens me because you said maybe we should look to marketing-driven approaches. I mean, this morning I've seen this nice video from Lara Zirvastava where someone gets annoyed because all the devices start telling to them. Now, when you had your choice, I see my fridge me calling in the evening, not only to remember me that he's or she is out of milk, but but that, you know, I have a choice of three or four different sorts of milk. And maybe even worse, there's still a space for some pizzas. Why should I not order some pizzas? So if all these devices start to do this kind of questions to me, I mean, I don't think I will have 1 minute at home without someone calling me. but nevertheless, it will be a bright new future. Any other questions? What you see at this moment? I think we took already too much time from the coffee break, so thanks a lot for your interest, and see you.